Our first scripture this morning is from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 22 through 28. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today.
The lesson for this morning, the second reading for this morning, comes to us from John chapter 17. Reading from verse 20 through 26. And this is from the New King James Version. John chapter 17. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. The word of God for the people of God. Father God, I stand in your holy presence this moment, Lord, to declare, thus says the Lord. Father, I pray, dear God, that I will decrease at this moment and you increase, Lord, that your word, dear God, will go out, dear God, in perfect love and harmony, that souls will be blessed, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Today being the seventh Sunday of Easter. And for those of us, we are still in the Eastertide celebration, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Feast of the Ascension of Jesus Christ, also called Ascension Day, was officially celebrated on Thursday of this week, the 26th, which was Ascension Day, because that marks the 40th day of Easter, or the 39th days after Easter Sunday, which is a Resurrection Sunday. On this day, Ascension Day, we observe the departure of Jesus from earth after his resurrection into heaven. It is perhaps the earliest observed celebration in Christianity, followed by the Day of Pentecost, which will be celebrated next Sunday, June 5th. 10 days after the Ascension and 50 days after Resurrection Sunday. The Bible is filled with prayers. An enormous amount of prayer books has been published, but there is none compared to the Holy Bible, the inspired Word of God. Among the numerous prayers found in the Bible, there are which I call 12, which scholars call notable prayers. Example of these notable prayers are found, 1, Genesis 18 and verse 23, where Abraham prays for Sodom. Genesis 32 and verse 24, where Jacob prays at Peniel, where he wrestled with God. David, when he denied the privilege of building the temple, in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 18, he prayed. Solomon at Gibeon, in 1 Kings 3 and verse 6. Solomon at the dedication of the temple, 1 Kings 8 and verse 22, which was read earlier. Hezekiah, in 2 Kings 19 and verse 15. Ezra, for the sins of the people. Daniel, for the captive Jews. Habakkuk prayed. The Lord's Prayer is seen in Matthew chapter 6. Christ's intercessory prayer, or what is actually called the priestly prayer, is seen in John 17. And Paul, who prayed for the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For our meditation today, we will examine some key verses from two of these notable prayers, which complements or add to the readings for today's service. Solomon, at the dedication of the temple, which I mentioned, intercedes for Israel. Christ's intercessory prayer, where Jesus prays for all believers, as we see in John 17, 22 through 26. These intercessories, through their obedience to God, to God's command, and their relationship with God the Father, allow them to intercede on behalf of people and nations. They prayed for war and for peace. They prayed the children of Israel, or Israel, would repent from their sinful ways, from stop worshiping idols. They prayed for restoration. They are the prophets, the priests, and the kings crying, pleading to God on behalf of another for his grace and mercy. God promised to make a people for himself, to give them a place and a rule over them with his protection and provision. At first, The covenant promise rested on Abram and seemed to include only the people of Israel. But God promised Abram that he would be blessed, that there would be a blessing to the world. Not just the Jews. God's salvation is for the world. It always was and always will be. However, Israel was unfaithful to God by following other gods and breaking the commandments. The people of Israel sinned against the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt and rescued them from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. It is within this context that God called faithful, obedient men, mentioned in these notable prayers, and appointed them to be to the office of prophets, priests, and kings, with authority to rule over his people. They were on a mission for God. So here we see Solomon, as the word of God said, stood before the altar of God in the presence of the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards heaven, and he said, Lord of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants, who walk before you with their hearts. Within the context of the narrative, King David had a vision he kept in his heart. A vision to build the temple where the Ark of the Covenant would be rested forever. And the name of the Lord would be established in praise and worship, where the presence of the Spirit of God would live and reign forever. But the Lord said to King David, these are his words, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build a temple, but your son who will come from your body, he shall build a temple for my name. 1 Kings 8:18-19. King David had the vision, but God had an appointed mission. Some assignment, brothers and sisters, is just not yours. We all have gifts that different according to the grace given to us. And each gift requires a different measure of faith that God supplies us with to use for him. What is your mission from God? What is your assignment? As you ponder the answer, ask yourself the following question. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? David, answering his own question, said, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalms 116, verses 12 to 14 and verse 17. Solomon's mission from God was to build the temple in the name of the Lord God of Israel. The great I am, who dwells in the pillar of dark clouds by day and the pillar of fire by night, with divine faithfulness leads his people through dangerous toils and snares. His omnipresence kept Israel under his divine care. For all those 40 years in the wilderness, the Lord kept Israel. The word of God said their clothing did not wear out and their feet had no blisters. For 40 years the Lord sustained them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. We just heard the mention of the history of this church. I am not Paul in the congregation in terms of age. But you can reflect on what the Lord has done for you all these years of your life. Where he brought you from, some of the difficult moments of your life, and what he has brought you through to this moment of your life. The Lord has done great things for us. We are off. We are glad. For 40 years, no blisters. For 40 years, the Lord sustained them in the wilderness. Regardless of your age at this time, where you are in your life, the Lord has sustained and keep you. What have you done for him lately? It is usually easy for us to take God's protection for granted. We seldom take notice or thank God for our car, that our car doesn't break down, our clothes didn't rip, or the kindness of a friend or a loved one. We seldom give thanks for those. We drive, nothing wrong with our car, it's fine. We can go to the closet and choose whatever we want. Like Israel, we fail to take notice or give thanks to God for these quiet blessings. How he blessed us, how he keeps us, how he provide for us. How his mercy is renewed every day. Great is his faithfulness towards us. We take his love for granted. We seldom take notice or thank God for the things in our lives. When I read Isaiah 46, verse 3 to 5, the word of God said, which I want to interject in this moment, into this sermon. Because when you read what Isaiah said in chapter 46, he said, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from earth, from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he. And even to gray years I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you. To whom will you like me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? For I am God and there is none other. I am God and there is none like me. Even to our old age, God said he will carry you. Israel turned their backs on God and worshiped Babylon's false god, Nebo, the god of science and learning. They worship those false god that they will have to carry around, false god that they would have to make with their hands. And they reject the true and living God." Solomon, in his gratitude to God, the covenant keeper, returned to God with grateful heart, stood and blessed all Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God who has given rest to the people of Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. Brothers and sisters, God's promises are sure. Whatever God said he will do, he will do. So upon completion of his assignment, Solomon declared, I have surely built you an exalted house. The word exalted. A place for you to dwell forever. And then the question comes again, will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. In his prayer of dedication, Solomon declared that even the highest heavens cannot contain God. Isn't it amazing that though the heavens cannot contain God, he is willing to live in the heart of those who love him? The God of the universe takes up residence in the heart of his people. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples made by human hands. Instead, he chose to live on earth in the hearts of those who love him. But God will really live on earth? The answer to this question is yes. His manifestation is seen in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, his only son. The songwriter declared, which we sang early on, he lives. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. You ask me how I know he lives. I will shout that he lives within my heart and your heart. He lives. It was Dr. Rumble who in her song, If That Isn't Love, answered a question for me with these words. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. It was the lowly hill of Golgotha there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then the heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, this beautiful, self-sacrificing God deserves our utmost devotion. There is no one like him, and therefore his people should be, unlike anyone else. Let us proclaim the amazing Savior to the world, to the children, to our children, to the people who come across our path. We have been redeemed, delivered, or rescued from our sins, set free to rescue or rescue from captive by Jesus paying the price by sacrificially laying down his life for the world. John 3:16. To the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from the fall of the first Adam. This plan of redemption is initiated by the Father, executed by the Son, and applied by the Holy Spirit. God saved us because that was his plan from eternity. He wanted to show us his grace through Jesus Christ. He saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of our own purpose, because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Jesus Christ before the ages began. In contrast to our God created us and cares for us. His love for us is enduring, that he will care for us throughout our lifetime and even through death. Jesus, in his farewell discourse, said these words: "In the same way you gave me a mission in the world, I gave them a mission in this world." Brothers and sisters, we are God's messengers. So let us for a moment ponder this thought: God's mission accomplished. God's mission accomplished in Jesus Christ. Create in your mind the imagery of Jesus interacting with the remaining 11 disciples as he bids them farewell. The New Testament chapters of 13, of John 13 and 17 of the Gospel of John are known as the farewell discourse given by Jesus to the 11 of his disciples immediately after the conclusion of the Last Supper in Jerusalem, the night before his crucifixion. The discourse of four components. See, time will not allow me to get into details of what it's all about. But here we see Jesus praying, as we read early on. In his priestly prayer, Jesus, who his three offices are prophet, the priest, and the king. And we see him praying here for himself. He prays for the disciples. And then he prays for the believers. He prays for the church. The church which he established. Not in building, but in the hearts of the disciples. Which he commanded them to stay in Jerusalem. Because if he doesn't go, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come. He commanded them to stay in Jerusalem. And as the Holy Spirit descended upon them, the word of God said they were in one accord. He has been praying for the unity of the church. Jesus said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." 17:1. "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me to do." John 17:4. "And now, O Father, glorify me with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." The question is, if Jesus is God, why would Jesus, who is human and divine, human in flesh and divine in spirit, prayed for glorification with the Father? This discourse is rich with Christological content. The example here speaks to the pre-existence of Christ in verse 5 when he refers to the glory which he had with the Father before the world was. Jesus came to earth. He was one with God. At this point, when the mission on earth was almost finished, Jesus is here asking his Father to restore him to his original place of honor. Jesus prayed for his disciples. I prayed for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they are yours. And all are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, that I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. I have given them your word, and your word as I have given them your word, and the world as hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And so Jesus prayed for them.